Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Yeah, I can just give you one announcement. This morning I was kind of shocked when I got up and I was getting ready. And I'm in the shower and I turn on news radio. And I see news radios here today. And I've got news radio on the app and it's buffering. And of course, you know, it takes it a minute to come on. And I'm in there just minding my business, taking a shower. And all of a sudden I hear Andrew McKay with this dire report about explosions going on over Santa Rosa County, smoke-filled highways, and I'm like, what? And I'm like jumping out of the shower. My wife's running into the bathroom. She's going, what's going on? I'm like, look out the window, see what's going on. And about that time, Andrew McKay tells us that it was a drill that we did yesterday here for the emergency management. So I don't know how many of you guys were alarmed by that, but it got me perfectly. So it was quite the scare that I had this morning, and it's by chance that you guys are here today, but it woke me up quite well.
Possibly the most satisfying thing anybody has ever said about this show.
I know, right?
So if you do not know, Wednesday, Santa Rosa County had their emergency operations drill for hurricane season. Only this year it wasn't a hurricane. It was actually an orbiting satellite falling down to Santa Rosa County, but that was the end payoff, you know, they didn't know that going on. And so but any disaster will do. Like, you just have to have a story and then you have to figure out how to solve it, because the skills you use to solve that disaster will also work for solving hurricanes or the aftermath. So what they asked me to do, Santa Rosa County Emergency Management got a hold of me about a month ago and said, hey, we got this idea. Would you record these news stories as if it's happening and you're covering it live on the radio? I'm like, of course I will. That sounds like great fun. So, yes, so they used them and it was wonderful. It worked out great. People were very thrilled about it. Set the tone. And then I was playing some of them yesterday as an example. And every time I played it, I'm like, oh, this is War of the Worlds all over again, man. People are going to think it's real because they know me and it's not April 1st and they should, you know. And so I kept saying, this is fake. But, you know, not everybody caught enough of it to know. So I'm just picturing Kerry Smith in the shower. The what now, you say?
What's going on?
Look out the window. Colton Wright.
I'd say you're probably not the only one that was surprised, and I'm sure that's why Andrew chimed in fairly quickly and said, hey, this is just a recording from the EOC exercise yesterday. But yeah, I was present for it, and I thought it was number one, and thank you for letting Andrew do that. I think it added some reality to the exercise at the Emergency Operations Center yesterday.
By the way, in letting, I think he's talking to my boss, Dave Hoxing, who was there. Dave and Mary Hoxing were there for Cat Country for Spring Jam.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's why Kerry was saying, and you're all here today, because, you know, all of our coworkers were there yesterday for the presentation for Spring Jam. And that's why Colton's like, thank you for letting him do that. They didn't know. But they would have said yes if I'd asked. Sometimes I knew that I didn't need to ask for permission. So anyway.
Oftentimes, in matter of fact, I was asked, I know Brad was asked about hurricane preparedness. And it's one thing that, you know, year after year, you know, we assemble a team at the EOC and we do a hurricane preparedness exercise. But I thought it was interesting, you know, for those of us that dealt with lots of hurricanes, it's kind of like, you know, being on an ambulance and going to the same call over and over again. You get through some routine stuff, but it's that thing that's not routine that really throws everybody off. And I thought the fact that Tom Lloyd and the entire team over the Tim Trow Bridge and Andrew kind of concocted this interesting idea of a satellite falling out of orbit and hitting Baghdad and Milton. It just made it different, and I think it presented some new challenges. And it was not only entertaining, but I think it was very educational. And everyone yesterday that was at the EOC did a fantastic job. So, but I'm glad to know he got you. It wasn't, not only did he get everybody on April 1st, but he got you today too.
Oh yes,
double shot. By the way, I can't take any credit for crafting the scenario. That was all them. I just voiced the things they sent me to voice. 437-1620. Oh, I do want to say this. You know, they had some really nice words to say about our bosses, Dave and Mary, who were there with Cat Country.
Dave, Mary, thank you so much for putting an organization together and a radio station and a family of stations that really works like a family. I see it in the employees' faces all the time. I hear it in their voices on the radio. You guys, I know we've said it before, but you really have become a part of the community, more than just a radio station. And in a world where everything's become very corporate, you guys have really kept that small town feel and are heavily engaged in the community, and we appreciate it so much.
Oh, and I feel the same way about our bosses. I'm so glad that they started these radio stations and made it possible for me to do what I do. And basically their instruction to me is, you know, go be you, Andrew, do your job, do it. And I mean, with not a lot of, like, I don't even know how many times I could count. It's far less than a single hand where I've ever even been suggested, like, hey, talk about this or do that. They don't, which is very unusual in radio stations. Most radio stations, you probably have a meeting with the PD like every day. So, all right, Transgressors comes up next. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Home Outlet Pensacola, home remodeling for every budget with savings on kitchens, baths, flooring, and a lot more. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly, 98, 29. Everything looks good so far. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
And by the way, the reason Cat Country is there to give the $22,000 check from Spring Jam that they do every year with the WAN is for the benefit of the Gulf Coast Kids House. All fantastic stuff.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. Let's have a rendezvous. This week, Gretch Lyles and the Modern Eldorados take the stage at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, bringing country and rock and roll the way it used to be to Bands on the Beach. Plus, don't miss out on shopping at the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
The 5-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Harvard University, whose faculty this week voted overwhelmingly to limit the number of A grades that can be given out to a mere 20% of the students in a class plus four. This means that a class of 15 students would have no more than 7 A's, a class of 30 could have no more than 10, and a class of 100 could have no more than 24. There are no restrictions on the number of A minuses or other grades to be given. Now, supporters say they opted for this draconian policy after the number of A's at Harvard rose from 20% of all grades in 2005 to 40% of all grades in 2015, and now 60% of all grades in 2025. In fact, in last year's graduating class alone, more than 50 students graduated with perfect GPAs, and they said something had to be done. But why? One of our core principles is that all people are equal, and some are more equal than others. But how can we say that everyone is equal and be proud of our anti-ableism if we also give some people A's and other people lesser grades? Who do you think invented the participation trophy? The self-graded paper? The accommodation being had at taking tests? Social-emotional learning? Equity audits? And who do you think tore down that racist, judgmental, merit-based academic atrocity, the SAT? We did! And throughout it all, including all the ways we've tried to smuggle affirmative action back into higher education, Harvard has been right there with us until now. Because we know that Harvard is essentially one of the top 10 theological seminaries for the Holy Church of Wokeness, Reformed, relentlessly producing a consistent cadre of woke-alites year after year who go on to influence culture and law, politics, education, business, and media, we are tempted to trust their judgment on something like this. But, as broad-minded egalitarians who are fully opposed to the idea of individual merit and ranking people according to their personal effort, we must oppose the crimson. So shame on you, Harvard, for being so mean and saying that 80% of students will not have to settle for only receiving an A-minus or, gasp, a B, when in their own minds they identify as A students. For shame, we hereby grade you veritas minus. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, our outstanding award of distinction goes to the Congressional Black Caucus and NAACP President Derek Johnson for fighting back against the Supreme Court and a host of southern states who have clearly started down the path of disenfranchising black voters through what they falsely call race-neutral congressional redistricting.
We are calling on athletes who are coming out of high school not to attend any state-funded schools of states that have moved to minimize our right to vote.
Absolutely. Hit them where it hurts. If states want to abandon insanely drawn congressional maps whose sole purpose is to artificially enhance the chances that black Democrat voters will be able to elect black Democrat representatives, then the state universities operated by those states must suffer the consequences.
No representation, no revenue. No one black should be on a playing field of institutions that's living off of our labor, and yet in states that are seeking to reinstitute a sharecropping reality.
Indeed. Even though black athletes frequently make boatloads of money through name, image, likeness deals in those schools, and of course often go on to make even larger boatloads of money in the NFL and the NBA, calling it sharecropping is a deft reframe. What does the 89th law of wokeness say? When reality's not on your side, deny reality and say the false thing as if it's true. So making it seem like sharecropping is the correct analogy is a perfect illustration of using loaded language to confuse the point. And an emphatic after the statement never hurts your cause.
But the 55% of us who live in the former Confederate South, we will not tolerate a Confederate mentality on our labor, on our ability to contribute, and our ability to be to have representation.
Yes, by all means remind people that even though it was only a short 160 years ago that the Civil War reunited the country and that there hasn't been a Confederacy since, nevertheless, whenever anyone in a southern state who even hints at something we dislike, throw around that term Confederacy as fast as you possibly can. Johnson's only mistake here, and I say this as a friendly amendment after the fact, is that he didn't make any references to Jim Crow, good old boys, poll taxes, lynchings, or the Ku Klux Klan. That was a tactical error on his part. But with so much other good work being done, we'll let it slide. However, if there is one piece of real criticism for President Johnson, it's that he isn't going far enough. It's a good start to call on black athletes to boycott SEC states, but why stop there? Do only athletes matter? What about all black students? Why attend schools in states that are racist? What about black teachers? Why teach at schools in states that are racist? Why only schools? Shouldn't the NAACP be asking all people to not just boycott these states, but to actively flee and leave for places like California and Illinois and New England, where they're completely willing to pander to blacks with custom-drawn congressional districts. I mean, logically, if all African Americans simply fled the southern states entirely, in the next census, those states would lose a massive chunk of political power, which would transfer to the new, more densely black states, who would then pick up representatives and power. But even at that, why only blacks? Should white athletes not be called upon to be anti-racist allies? White students? White teachers? White visitors and residents? The only real flaw in Johnson's demand is that he didn't ask for enough. If all the blacks and all the anti-racist whites fled Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Missouri, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Texas, we could probably cut their congressional influence by two-thirds or more. And we would know for sure where all the racists live because anyone who stays would self-identify as one. Yes, a mass migration out of southern states is a fantastic solution. And then, well, we could just expel them from the Union entirely. Why not? Would we really want states that densely populated by racist whites to stay in the country? We could send them on their merry cross-burning bedsheet-wearing way. They could just form their own little association or community or, I don't know, confederacy of states. Yes, give them what they always wanted. An emaciated, racist, all-white confederacy that is isolated from the real America and won't compete in sports, academics, or economics either. They can keep their sandy beaches and temperate climate. It counts for nothing in comparison with the self-righteous glow of anti-racist pride. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our shimmering little black dress of justice with 43 fantabulous flapper fringe tassels goes to writer, actor, and comedian Quinta Brunson, the creator and star of Abbott Elementary, for announcing that she will be the voice of Betty Boop in an upcoming project on the history of the development of the famous cartoon Bombshell. As you all know, Betty Boop is a voluptuous, coquettish 1920s flapper in short skirts who shakes her hips, pouts her lips, and periodically utters a catchphrase.
Boop, boop, father.
Now, according to documents at the time, cartoonist Max Fleischer based the character on real-life white singer Helen Kane, who was so unhappy about the similarities in look and sound that she actually sued Fleischer Studios for today's $6 million, for using her traits without consent or compensation. Now, if you see Betty and Helen side by side, the likeness is indisputable. But that's what makes this story so wonderful. Because, as you all know, Quinta Brunson is African American, thus a black woman is voicing a white cartoon character, which means she's actively engaging in, yes, triple backflip reverse cultural disappropriation, stealing cultural power by decentering whiteness. Quinta Brunson is absolutely following our playbook on dismantling the white straight patriarchy, or what we will start referring to as WISP culture, by swapping minority race, gender, and sexual orientation for, in this case, a white icon. Brunson's just following in the footsteps of so many other examples, from making Spider-Man be black, or female, or gay, or all three, to having a female black surfer, a gay or black Captain America, having Samuel L. Jackson portray the white Nick Fury, or Halle Berry as the black Little Mermaid, or Katie Sackhoff portray Battlestar Galactica as Starbuck, or even making James Bond's male boss, M, a female, or 007 themselves black or female, or maybe even bisexual. And just look at what Christopher Nolan is doing for The Odyssey in casting Lupita Nyong'o as Helen of Troy and the waif-like transgender Elliot Page as Achilles. Outstanding. We must deliberately, even aggressively, capture key WISP icons in a concentrated effort to dismantle the solidifying totems of the white supremacy cultural fabric. But this is even better than all that. If it were only transracializing Betty Boop with a black voice, that would be one thing. But there's already a move afoot to redefine the character entirely by claiming Betty Boop was actually based off of, yes, black performer Baby Esther Jones. This is full-blown Tier 4 gaslighting, and we love it. Not just transforming a white icon into a black one, but actually claiming she was black all along, meaning that Betty Boop represented stolen flapper valor. The fact that this counter-narrative is not true only makes the gaslight all the more delicious. So well done, Quinta. Instead of public enemies who stole the soul, you showed us who swiped the sway. The only question that remains is whether Betty Boop herself will be redrawn as the sultry black queen she should have always been, and then whether she'll be swapping out her famous black skirt for a white one, since otherwise she'll definitely be difficult to draw. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Just remember, I only write stories that are actually happening. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
You know, I need to tell my mom that my report card back in the day identified as A.
It identified as A. That's exactly right. That's how you fix that. Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it, bro. All right. That's a good one. All right. So let's see here. No accidents to report to you. Starting to see a little minor delay on I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne has got a headline or two for us. David?
Earlier this month, Trump...
No, he's working on other stuff, which is what happens. No big deal. It's all just kind of amazing all the time. Nothing to add. I don't have to make stuff up. I just look at the news. I have to actually ignore stories every week because there's more than three that I could do all the time for the Transgression Memorial Service. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in just a minute.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Sweden for a NATO summit with Iran on the mind.
Iran is trying to create a tolling system. They're trying to convince Oman, by the way, to join them in this tolling system in an international waterway. There is not a country in the world that should accept that.
Fox's Jillian Turner in Sweden.
He has got a very clear, very succinct message to deliver on behalf of President Trump and the United States. It is time for these allies, he says, to pay up and lay up when it comes to the war in Iran.
Meantime, NASCAR legend Kyle Busch passing away suddenly at 41 years old after suffering from a severe illness.
Less than 2 weeks ago, the legendary driver was dealing with a sinus issue during a race and had to radio for medical. He told reporters after the race that he had a substantial cough. It's unclear if that illness is related to his hospitalization.
That's Fox's Chanley Painter. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 76 degrees with cloudy skies across the area. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. Santa Rosa County Commissioners approving school zone speed cameras yesterday. Despite a little bit of public pushback, Commissioner Kerry Smith pushed back on that, on the privacy argument. He said the surveillance debate really ignores the reality of modern life.
Unless you drive an automobile that doesn't have a computer-controlled ignition system, you can already be tracked everywhere you go. Somebody could shut your car off remotely. It happens. If you live in a neighborhood where one of your neighbors has a Ring doorbell camera facing away from their door, you're on surveillance. If it happens to be right across the street from you, they're surveilling your front yard. There is no expectation of privacy in public anymore.
And commissioners voted to approve that system. The cameras are programmed to match each school's specific zone hours and only capture violations when a school zone is active. Citations would go to the registered vehicle owner. Santa Rosa County also adopting an updated version of their strategic plan yesterday. That plan was built entirely in-house this time with no outside consultants, saving the county some money. Key additions include language supporting the county's farmland legacy conservation program and stronger promotion of the county's existing bike trail network. County Administrator Brad Baker said the in-house effort also created a stronger sense of staff investment in the community's long-term vision. Now, the Diocese of the Pensacola-Tallahassee is mourning the loss of its longest tenured bishop. Bishop John H. Ricard died on Wednesday in Washington, D.C. at the age of 86. Pope John Paul II appointed Ricard as the fourth bishop of the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee in 1997, a position he held for nearly two decades. Ricard was also instrumental in relaunching the National Black Catholic Congress in 1997 and served as its president until 2019. He'll be laid to rest at St. Michael's Cemetery in Pensacola. Funeral arrangements have not yet been announced. Five Flags Speedway is planning to pay tribute to NASCAR legend Kyle Busch after he died yesterday at age 41. Speedway director Tim Bryant, who was at the Hickory Motor Speedway in North Carolina when the news broke, says the racing world now is in shock.
He will be long remembered, and I'd even go as far as saying he'll be remembered forever as a great race car driver, both on the big time circuits and the small track circuits. So certainly he'll have a place in the history of Five Flags Speedway from now till the end of time.
Bush was a two-time Snowball Derby winner at Five Flags, of course, competed at the track as recently as last year. He won two NASCAR Cup Series championships in 2015 and 2019 and accumulated 234 combined wins across NASCAR's three national series. That's more than any other driver in history. 635 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down delay-wise. I-10, I-110 are back to flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And right now, cloudy skies, 76 degrees. Let's get a look at our forecast.
We are going to be looking at some rain today, 50% chance of a shower or thunderstorm, otherwise high near 84 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Saturday, 40% chance of rain, high near 84. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping a 30% chance of rain on that Sunday with a high near 83 degrees, and Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
76 with cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of Lenovo surged nearly 20% this morning after the personal computer and electronics giant posted strong revenue growth powered by its growing artificial intelligence business. Group revenue for the March quarter reached $21.6 billion, which is up 27% year over year. Net income grew by nearly a factor of six to reach $520.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Big renovation plans? Don't pay big prices. Now, Home Outlet in-store doorbuster deals are live. Save $2 a square foot on hybrid waterproof oak flooring. Now just $198. Interior door units, any size, starting at only $99. Or upgrade your bathroom vanity for just $219. Plus, deep savings on countertops, exterior doors, bathroom fixtures, and more. But hurry, these doorbuster deals won't last. In-store at Home Outlet Pensacola location only. Find us at homeoutlet.com.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
What is website visitor ID? How much effort do you put into attracting people to your website without having any idea of who actually visits? With website visitor ID, you can collect the name, email address, physical address, and even demographic information from the people who come to your website, all without cookies. This is lead generation gold. It's called website visitor ID.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday through Monday, see America's tall ship, the U.S. Coast Guard Bark Eagle. It's the largest tall ship flying the stars and stripes. For tour information, see visitpensacola.com. Saturday, it's the annual Family Beach Fest at the Gulfside Pavilion from 3 till 7:30. The free concert honors God, family, and our military on Memorial Day weekend. See Family Beach Fest on Facebook for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Wednesday, May 13th, the TPO meeting occurred, and Commissioner Kohler and Commissioner Stroberger from Escambia County and myself were all in Washington, D.C. as part of the Northwest Florida Defense Coalition and doing some of that advocacy for our bases, and some of that had to do with, you know, transportation and other infrastructure needs. But when I watched the meeting, I watched it when I got back, and I was alarmed by a couple things.
You remember I extensively covered the Transportation Planning Organization meeting and how it was the Heather Lindsay sweep attack, you know, sweep the leg, Johnny, attack against Kerry Smith for the chairmanship, pushing the Highway 90 priority above Sorrento Road. Remember Wes Moreno yesterday told us that some of his commissioners were not happy about how all that went down and they were likely to bring this back up. And I told you, I said, I think there's going to be some conversations about this at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, maybe at the Escambia County Commission meeting. That was 4 hours yesterday. I have not watched that one yet. Don't worry, I'll get to it. You know me, I'll get to it all. But Colton Wright yesterday, talking about that Transportation Planning Organization meeting, I was alarmed by some of the things I saw at that meeting. Again, two key parts of that meeting. Part one was the pushing of the Highway 90 on the priority list, the non-funded priority list from 7 up to 4 above Sorrento Road. That's going to be key. And then the other one is, you know, for some completely inexplicable reason, Santa Rosa County politicians voting to not make a Santa Rosa County delegate be the chair, but instead voting to keep Escambia County Commissioner Stephen Berry as the chair. Back to Colton.
One, I believe there were some actions that were taken at the meeting that have jeopardized our relationship with Escambia County and our region. And I just want everyone to think about when we I try to be the peacemaker. And I try to always find the common goal and use common sense and bring us in for a landing and accomplish something and compromise, right? But I think sometimes we don't look at the actions we take, whether they be a vote or the things we say, and sometimes how that creates problems on other boards and other organizations. So you know that, you know, we've got the Pensacola Pre-Debate Estuary Program. We've got the Northwest Florida Defense Coalition. We've got these different organizations that we're working at, you know, across the entire region. And some of the actions taken at the TPO the other day have greatly strained those other relationships on those other organizations that do great work for our communities and our region, whether it be the environment or whether it be the military.
Let me say it more bluntly. You pissed off a bunch of Escambia County commissioners with this little stunt. And now we got to work with them on a bunch of other stuff, and they are not happy, and it could jeopardize a lot of the things that we're trying to accomplish. You dummies.
I find it a little ironic that many of the people that would constantly show up in the boardroom from the audience have been not present lately.
Pitchfork Posse members.
And they were always the ones that would constantly get up and talk about things and always point out all the problems and never provide a solution. And they had a tendency to also say things like, you know, oh, Commissioner Smith, you're just doing this because it's an election. It's political. Or Commissioner Wright, you're doing this because it's an election. It's political.
And then what did they do?
But yet those same people were never at TPO meetings or transportation meetings. They were never engaged in the process for years. And now they're the ones not showing up here, but they're showing up at those meetings and getting political.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even Mayor Lindsay,
mm-hmm. including Mayor Heather Lindsay.
I find it interesting that Mayor Lindsay is now on the side of let's expand Highway 90 through Milton, when she herself, when she was on the TPO before, was part of the group moving the item down the list so that they could try to prevent the expansion of Highway 90 through Milton. And now all of a sudden there's a flip.
Fire. Right? I mean, he's saying the same thing I was saying the other day, except he's saying a little different slice of it. You know, not only did you, you know, pitch your little fit and got your way, but that alienated them. And, you know, as at the time, you know, it had been pointed out that, look, she pulled down the priorities or helped to pull down previously and then switched, you know, she was on part of the council. I mean, she's not on the council, but, you know, she was a representative. Anyway, so he's glad that she's now on board.
I'm grateful for council and the mayor and everyone in the city of Milton that is now on board with expanding Highway 90 and doing it in a responsible way. Because we've been saying it. I know I've been telling them for years, guys, you can either get on board and help solve the traffic problem and have a seat at the table and actually revitalize downtown Milton, Or you can choose to keep putting up a roadblock, and one day when FDOT decides they've had enough and they're going to do it, you're just going to get whatever they give you, and you're going to end up with a really bad result.
And by the way, just to make sure, so you understand kind of what's going on, remember at that TPO meeting, they almost didn't get a quorum. The meeting almost didn't happen. They really worked hard to get a meeting. And then in that meeting, Stephen Berry was the only one from Escambia County because Steve Schroberger and Mike Kohler were in D.C. with Colton. I don't have any idea where Ashley was. I'm not sure, but she wasn't there. And so where they pushed up this priority for the Highway 90 above Sorrento Road to 4, still on the below 3, so it doesn't really matter list, but, you know, there was no Escambia County commissioners there to push back. So it looks like the Santa Rosa people deliberately took advantage of a meeting that was missing a lot of their people while the ones who weren't there were cooperating with Santa Rosa in D.C. trying to advocate for military things. So we're working teamwork over there. Meanwhile, we're stabbing in the back here at home. You get why they're not happy. Okay, so John Pickens, traffic on the fives, before we get back to the rest of this.
All right, no accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Everything is flowing smoothly. Not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know, the phrase is not backstabbing makes the dream work.
No, it's teamwork not at all. Makes the
dream work. Okay.
And let's face it, anything below number three, it's just semantics. Whether it's 4, 5, 6, 7, it doesn't matter that much.
6, 7.
But I think the optics of moving it the way we did created a little friction with our counterparts in Escambia.
Yeah, and he's right. It's symbolic. Now, it's not zero value symbolic, but it's pretty close because the top three get funded and 4 after doesn't really, you know, you could be number 27, you could be number 4. It's not really that much of a difference except that it's kind of a statement of sentiment, okay? Especially because most of the projects on the top three are like long-term, like the Beulah Interchange. This is a lot. I mean, that's going to be number one for a long time, you know, because it's not going to be completed for a long time. All right. So
I wasn't at TPO because I had a prior obligation. TPO staff was aware who wasn't going to be there. And I've got concerns I'll take up with the CEO of the ECRC separately. Because I
will talk with the management at TPO later for letting this happen.
Because I think when you have a meeting that doesn't have a quorum and you knew in advance a number of people weren't going to be there, and it was certainly going to be a very lopsided situation, and to scramble to try to find one city council person to come in from Pensacola to show up to be able to get a meeting going and it start that late, I think the wise, prudent thing would have been just cancel the meeting and postpone it to another date. That would have been easy. But instead, it was pushed.
It was advanced. Like, and so when all of that happens, it's a very natural thing to ask, well, who orchestrated that? Or was it just spontaneously happened all on its own? Or, you know, because like in politics, that's what happens a lot, is things just spontaneously happen on their own for no reason whatsoever.
I can only assume, but it looked like it was pushed for a specific reason and a specific agenda to happen.
Yeah.
And then what I saw is I saw other members of this board that also serve on the TPO that I can only assume, but it looked like they were playing into the agenda that was there.
So whatever agenda was going on and whoever was orchestrating it, well, y'all got suckered right along. You played right along. Now, whether you knew or didn't know, you know, to know would have been sunshine violations. And if you didn't know, you should have known. Anyway, so that's your part one. There's the part. Yeah, I know we've been doing a lot of the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting today. This is now the third segment. There's going to be a fourth at 7:40. But trust me, the 7:40 one is even better. It's because, you know.
Oh, it's remember, even better.
Oh, yeah. No, this is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. we'll come back to it. Anyway, we'll deal with it a little bit later. 6:49 here on News Radio 92. You know what? No.
What?
No, I don't want to.
No, you've already started it.
Nope, we'll come back to it. Trust me, 7:40. We'll be there. All right. If you have a roof that needs repairing or needs replacing, or you just don't know which is, I mean, understandable because it can be hard to tell. And by the time you mobilize resources, and then if you wait a couple of years and have to have it replaced in 4 or 5 years, how much more it will cost then, how much you'll have to pay again to just kind of get the people out there and doing it, it might make more sense just to replace it now. Plus, depending on how your home insurance works, like if you have not had a wind mitigation inspection report, you might be able to save as much as, I mean, honestly, half of your home insurance. There's some cases where people have saved that much. You know, cutting it for like from $4,800 to $2,300. That's amazing. I can't promise, but you never know. The point is, talk to Quality Roofing Solutions. About 90% of what they do is full roof replacement, about 10% is repairs. Okay, they've replaced 10,000 roofs over the last 20 years since 2006 is when they started. Brian Ward basically built a company to do good quality work at a fair price and treat people well. That's kind of a theme for the people that I represent, you know, is that's their attitude. They've got a 4.9 rating on Google. That's insanely high. They warranty their roofs for lifetime for workmanship, and they will talk to you like you're a person and not assume you know everything and not treat you like you're dumb for not knowing everything. Like, they just, you know, do good work. I have a good friend who just, you know, she got a roof recently because she listens to me and she tried them, and she's like, they weren't necessarily the cheapest price, but sometimes the cheapest isn't the cheapest, you know, and they weren't the most expensive either by far, but they did good quality work. They did what they said, and I'm super satisfied. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. 1% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Good morning, 6:53, News Radio 92.3. Oh yeah, that's the Def Leppard that you probably suspected you needed today. Come on now, come on. Yeah. News Radio 92.3. Didn't you? I know we all did. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David.
Good morning. 5,000 U.S. troops are being sent to Poland. President Trump making that announcement yesterday on social media. He said the deployment was based on the successful election of now President of Poland, Karol Nawrocki. The announcement followed an unexpected move by Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth earlier this month to stop sending troops to Poland, a move that was criticized by both parties.
Okay, let me tell you how the Gen X kid hears this story. You ready? What do you call 5,000 troops in Poland? I mean, I don't have an answer. It sounds like the beginning of a joke, right? That we would have been telling in fifth grade and we're not allowed to tell anymore.
Right, what's the payoff?
No payoff. I don't have it. I'm not going to make it. Sorry,
always just leave us in suspense.
He does. Well, sometimes you got to leave them wanting more. go ahead, David.
Well, Waymo is now pausing freeway trips for its autonomous taxis while it works on upgrading performance in construction zones. Of course, they've got these in Miami, also in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Phoenix. Severe weather and flooding issues apparently have led to a pause in service in several of their markets that are using those autonomous vehicles.
They got a whole bunch of them in one subdivision in, was it Atlanta? Was that where they all got stuck in the cul-de-sac?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So weird. All right, go ahead.
I would never trust an autonomous taxi. No, I just don't think so. No.
They're fun.
Have you taken one, John?
I'm taking a Waymo. I enjoyed it. I sat in the back.
It's a Johnny cab, man.
A what?
Wait, you don't remember the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll just move on.
I thought you were making fun of me with that.
Total Recall? The Johnny cab?
Oh.
I remember the movie. I don't remember the Johnny cab.
Y'all
gotta
go back and watch your movies.
Gonna have to.
All right, David Wayne, go ahead. Last one.
Well, President Trump is expected to swear in Kevin Warsh as the new Federal Reserve Chairman today. He'll succeed Jerome Powell, whose term expired earlier this month. Trump handpicked Warsh to lead the central bank with expectations that they'll continue lowering interest rates in the post-Powell era.
I can never not say it. Being from Illinois, you know, it's the best gag. Every time somebody says his name, they sound like they grew up in Carbondale.
Yes.
We're driving down Farty Far to go visit Kevin Warsh, you know, get me the milk.
I just always think about my grandma when I hear his name. It'll all come out in the wash.
That's exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it just does not sound.
Yep.
I still can't believe y'all don't know the Johnny cab.
Where am I?
You're in a Johnny cab.
I mean, what am I doing here?
I'm sorry. Would you please rephrase the question?
John Pickett says traffic on the fives.
Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. And I'm not seeing any delays either. Good traffic morning so far. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Good boy. Good boy.
Who's a good driver today?
So far.
Give him time. Hey, if you need to work on a home improvement project or you build things for a living or anywhere in between, Pensacola Hardware is a great place to go get your supplies, to go get your advice. Like, they are the living, you know, the real live people who can help you figure things out, and you can ask your questions and they'll give you the advice. And, you know, they want to make sure you get the result you're looking for. And so, you know, sometimes, honestly, what that means is they'll see you buying a thing and be like, hey, have you ever used that before? And you're like, but they're trying to make sure you do it safely. They're trying to make sure you get the result. You know, you pay good money for an end result, not you pay good money to have a product. And they want to make sure that you know how to use it well. And they care. They want to get you the good result. Now, I tell you, it's a great place to buy stuff. It's a great place to get advice. It's also a good place to buy, you know, gifts for yourself or for others. You know, Yeti merchandise and Weber grills and all kinds of cutlery and cast iron, whatever, all kinds of stuff. It's also a good place for a date. It's the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. And if you've never been, you should go and be able to say, hey, we went. You can go look around, have some fun. It's 175 years young. Before there was Levi's, there was Pensacola Hardware, one of the 50 oldest companies in the entire country. This year, celebrating their 175th anniversary, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. It is really kind of an amazing thing. All right, what else we got going on today? The Smithsonian Women's Museum had come to a vote in the House. This is to establish a branch of the Smithsonian that deals with women's history. Republicans added a caveat or a rider that said no transgender women will be featured in it'll only be biological women, which you would think would be uncontroversial. But, of course, in today's world, in the gender anarchy mindset, anything goes. Democrats voted it down. They were and some Republicans, they were unwilling to create the Women's History Museum unless it also included the possibility of featuring transgender women's history. And there's also this, it's hard to tell which was the reason, but there's also a provision they're having to do with President Trump having control over the location, basically, or whatever. So it's partly one, part the other. Now, the Democrats are like, you make everything about being transgender. We didn't stop the museum because it wasn't transgender enough. You did. Who's making it about transgender? Both of us. We're both of us making it about transgenderism. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stick around.